Hello and welcome to the first of our two Deepdale Festival special episodes of the Deepdale podcast. I'm Jason and I get to chat with some fabulous artists who will be performing at this year's festival at Deepdale Camping and Rooms. The Deepdale Festival takes place on Thursday the 24th to Sunday the 27th of September across four stages in Burnham Deepdale. Our music lovers festival with a heart of folk. In this episode, you'll find out more about how the artists got into music, their inspiration, and what you can expect from their sets at this year's festival. I'm joined by Louise Essex, aka Dear Wife, Catherine Roberts and Sean Lakeman, Maddie Morris, and Neve. Each artist has chosen a sample track for us to play. In case you are still pondering whether to join us for one or more of the days at Deepdale Festival, you can find a full programme on our website, deepdalefestival.co.uk, where you can also find information about tickets and local accommodation. Hopefully, we'll see you at the end of September, if not before. Enjoy the listen.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire, sea lavender. See ya next year.
I'm chatting to one of our wonderful artists who are performing at the Deepdale Festival this year. It is Louise Essex, aka Dear Wife. And we've just been chatting about whether Louise prefers to be called Dear Wife or Louise. And we thought we'd mix it up and see. Where in the world are you based?
I'm based in Hertfordshire. So that's where I grew up. I lived abroad for a little bit, but I've moved back to my roots. Yeah.
Excellent. And how long have you been, how long have you been writing and playing music? Is it a thing that you've been doing for a long time?
So let's say as Dear Wife, I just celebrated 5 years of kind of doing my solo project as Dear Wife. And previous to that, since I was like 15 and writing bad poetry, which kind of became slightly better poetry. But yeah, we started with poetry and then maybe went to songwriting when I was about 21, let's say.
And so did you produce sort of books of poetry, or was it all stuff that you did sort of quietly in your bedroom?
Yeah, I mean, initially it started, typing on WordPad on my laptop. Yeah, I did submit eventually and got some things in journals. Yet to aspire for a pamphlet, but I've kind of got the poems, and I haven't edited them for at least 5 years whilst I've been working on my music more, but would like to go back to the poetry side of things. But I guess it I'm using that skill in my songwriting anyway now.
I'm loving all the stuff that quite a lot of our folk artists come along with, sort of in terms of sort of song books and, the prints and, that sort of stuff. You look at Christina and Alex, who produce the most beautiful albums and stuff. And they do all of this wonderful sort of additional stuff. And Nick Zapardi does, lino cuts. And, it's just lovely to see that kind of range of art that's all interconnected. And I guess, not sadly having any musical bones in my own body, is writing poetry and writing songs kind of in a very similar process in some ways?
Yeah, I think it feels similar, but I seem to know when something is going to be a song or a poem.
Okay.
So still, even now, I'm like, oh, that would be a poem. So I kind of brush it aside and kind of wait for a future time where I go back to doing more poetry. But something I'm interested in is experimenting more with trying to edit some poems into songs and vice versa, and just see like yeah, just play around with that. I'm going to be doing a residency actually in Scotland at Monniac Moor Creative Writing Centre, and that's going to be all about the sound world of poems. So hopefully that will, yeah, just give me a lot of inspiration, but also maybe some new strategies for thinking about like the interplay between the poems I've written and the songs. Yeah, totally agree. It's important, I think, to, as an artist, to also have merchandise that is like appealing to many different senses. So, as you mentioned, you know, beautiful art cover or whatever it might be. I definitely want to tap into that a bit more when I have more of a budget for merch. But I did do a lyric book, which I really enjoyed doing. It's kind of nice to see your lyrics just like inhabit the page. And I accompanied that with photographs. And it was just kind of cool to take something I've done and just go in a new direction with it. So yeah, I released that with my debut EP. And yeah, it's cool to have something else to give other than a CD or a downloadable, you know, audio.
And how would you describe your music? So if, you know, if someone's not seen you before, they're coming to Deepdale this year and you're going to see you performing, what can they expect from your performance?
I used to say slightly melancholy folk, but actually it's got a bit more upbeat actually. There's definitely more different vibes going on now. I would say thoughtful folk tends to cover it, but I definitely have some slightly jazzier inspirations now. Yeah, just started using chords with sevenths. And yeah, I do think generally my songs paint a picture, so they're very narrative driven. So like, yeah, just very much like the kind of tradition, folk tradition of the ballad, they tend to tell a story and tend to climax and then tend to recoil. So yeah, stories about folk figures. I've got songs from anything to from King Lear to majestic oak trees in national parks to the last relationship. So they're all very human, and yeah, and generally quite inspired by nature.
What flipped you from being, you know, sort of concentrating on your poetry to concentrating on your music? Was there some sort of big revelation, or was it just you
I
saw
guess
some?
I started dating people who played guitar,
Okay,
and I
that's
thought that's
perfectly
cool.
logical.
It took me a really long time to get like a half decent enough to like accompany myself, and I still would never call myself a guitarist. But you know, I do enough to accompany myself, and you know, I think would love in the future to expand Dear Wife into a duo or a trio with more adept string players. I took the leap because I actually grew up playing piano and realized that it didn't speak to me in terms of the songwriting I wanted to do. So it was a way of kind of, I guess, sharing the fun I was having with words. So branching from poetry to music meant I could share it more readily with audiences. And I was at uni at the time, and you know, it's always impressive when you know you can get up and play at an open mic night, and I might have used that on a date or two.
It seems like a very good incentive. Excellent. That's wonderful. Well, we're really looking forward to having you with us at the Deepdale Festival. I'm so glad you're looking forward to it. It's going to be fabulous. Dear Wife, aka Louise, or Louise, aka Dear Wife, they're playing on Thursday on the Orchard, Thursday evening on the Orchard, and Sunday on the Courtyard stage. And we're really, really looking forward to those sets. What song should I put into the podcast so that people kind of get a feel of what they're going to be looking forward
Ah,
to?
I would say Probably the single that I released, which is off of my debut EP called Folly, and the single is called Enough, and it's kind of got a bit of mischievous storytelling in it. It plays into a lot of the images around nature that I like to do, and very independent woman vibes, and a message of self-love and being enough for oneself. So maybe that one.
Fantastic. Well, we'll see you in a few weeks' time. We're really looking forward to it. Thanks very much.
Cool, thank you.
Not too far from me. I go there, swing myself in trees, and you would not believe how deeply I sing. Oh, the water that I drink, taste of all the things that I would do. You watch the moon fill right up. I want your hand, fill up my cup. You tell me that I'm lonely, that my heart beats. So believe. Inside of me, I will never know a glowing love.
Well, I am chatting to Catherine Roberts and Sean Lakeman, and they are playing at the Deepdale Festival on Sunday in the Brick Barn, and we are really, really looking forward to their set. Chris is so chuffed that they have accepted the invitation to come to the festival. It's wonderful. I've been recognised by so many different folk-related organisations. So, thank you so much for firstly accepting the invite to come to Deepdale Festival, and thank you for joining me on the Deepdale podcast. It's lovely to chat with you both.
Absolute pleasure. We're really looking forward to coming over to Deepdale. We don't often get to the east of the country because we're right down in the far west in Dartmoor. We don't often get to that direction, so it's a bit of an adventure for us.
Excellent, excellent. And how did your duo come about? Now, what's the story of your music?
Well, we've been playing together for about 32, 33 years. And we met at a folk festival when we were really, really young teenagers, the Sidmouth Folk Festival. And we formed a band. And we were in that band for a good 10 years. And we ended up doing most of our work in that band in America. And that
Okay.
coincided with 9/11, when we had to stop working in America because they just basically shut the borders. And so Catherine and I started doing folk clubs and more roots venues over here in the UK as a duo, and we've never stopped.
Excellent. What can people expect from a set of yours? What, you know, what are they going to see and enjoy?
We like to do a fair old mix of things. We do some traditional songs that we spend quite a lot of time seeking out unusual versions of songs, or perhaps songs that come from other traditional cultures and bringing them into our own way of doing it. But we write a lot of songs as well, but they're very, I suppose, that they reflect the fact that we've grown up in the folk scene because we both tend towards looking for stories. We like songs that have a really good story to them, might be a bit quirky sometimes. Just looking for a different angle to tell a story as well is the key thing. So when we play, we do a gig, we like to bring a mix of fairly jolly, funny, quirky songs, some quite sad stories, a few serious things as well, and we throw in the odd cover from time to time. I always like to think that, you know, if you're not keen on one song, just wait 3 minutes and there'll be something completely different for the next one. So it'll be fine.
I like that. Have you had a crazy busy summer? Have you been touring all over the place?
It's been all right, actually. Not too bad. Festivals is the summertime. And we've had a good smattering where we haven't had to travel too far. So, yeah, it's been lovely, actually. We've been able to enjoy the glorious sunshine we've had here on Dartmoor plenty this summer. So it's been really good.
We tend to do a big tour in the spring every year. And then another tour in October time, of which Deepdale is kind of the kickoff for the autumn tour. But summer's been really nice. Just, yeah, quite a bit of sitting on the M5 in traffic as well.
We've been recording hard as well. We've used the time here to sort of leisurely record our next album, which is sort of three quarters done. So we haven't just been sitting idle.
When do you hope to have that new album out?
Targeted for spring. So just a little bit more to do. Looking forward to that. Sounding great so far.
What's your back catalogue? You know, how many albums, EPs and stuff have you guys put out?
I don't know. Plenty.
Yeah, quite a few, I suppose. We tend to...
A shelf full.
Yeah, I think we probably have a new album of kind of self-penned, fresh material, maybe once every 4 to 5 years. But there have been in-between bits, like we had a live album a couple of years ago, and we'll occasionally do something that's... sort of record all the oddities and unusual bits and pieces that we may not have put on other albums. So we, you know, we're not prolific every year, but we just like to, we do everything Devon pace, which is fairly relaxed.
There's no harm in that, coming from one relaxed part of the world to another relaxed part of the world. So yeah, except during August when it just seems to be crazy, but the rest of the year is very chilled. You've never been to Deepdale before, so this is going to be your first experience, which will be hopefully you'll love it.
Looking forward to it. We always enjoy coming over towards, you know, Norfolk Way. But like Catherine says, it's such a long way. We always have to tie it in with a few other gigs. Otherwise, it's, we just end up, you know, having driven for an entire day and then we play like we're terrible.
Exhausted. Luckily, we're not coming too far when we get to Deepdale. I think we're not too, only a couple of hours drive that day. So that's good.
We'll be rested.
Dartmoor is stunning, and I can completely understand why you want to be based there. But as a touring musician, it's not exactly the centre of the UK, is it? So it does lead to a lot of M5. At least you get to Gloucester services occasionally, which could be a lot worse.
The old favourite.
Excellent. Well, we really are looking forward to your set. These guys are playing on Sunday in the Brick Barn, and it will be a fab set. It'll be really, really enjoyable. What track, if I played a sort of sample of your music, what would you like me to put in?
Be the Rope Dancer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go for the Rope Dancer. Why not?
It's a bit more quirky.
Little quirky. It's about it's about the first man to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, a French man
from
London. And I settled on writing a song about that because I wanted to use the word funambulist in a song. It's a tightrope walker, and so I therefore had to find a tightrope walker to write about. So, you know, it's kind of in the poor condition. But...
And did you find that an easy word to rhyme?
Luckily, it's not in a rhyming bit. Well, there's no rhyme for it, but it's in there.
Is it?
Yes. Have you all these years of playing it, you've never noticed?
Oh, I don't listen to the words.
Typical husband and wife thing.
How did you end up kind of primarily working in the US? What was the logic, or, you know, what was the occurrence of that happening?
We got signed by an American record company in New York City. And they worked us like dogs for years.
It was amazing. We got to travel. And we would go for sort of 3 months at a time and tour and tour and tour. And it was a really good training ground because you're playing night after night to different venues, people who didn't have a clue who we were. So it was really good practice. And I think that's where we learnt how to be on a stage and how to cope with different situations. You know, it was really fortunate. And we got to see bits of America that you would never see if you were going as a tourist.
Yeah.
We went to some incredible places.
It was a great time to see it. I think the late 90s and early 2000s, America was a really booming, you know, incredible place. And it was really musically, like, totally rich as well. The great music happening in America at that time as well.
And was that in do they have the equivalent of folk clubs in the US, or is it sort of...
Yeah, but we were doing all sorts of... We were doing theatres. I mean, we were in a, like, five-piece folk rock band, so we'd play everything from kind of small clubs to universities to big outdoor festivals, amphitheatres, you know, everything. And, I mean, it was, you know, set up there where you could basically just go round and round and round the States without ever having to repeat yourself for a couple of years.
What I always really enjoyed that I found quite different to the UK at the time anyway was there was a culture there where people would happily go along to their local bar, and if there happened to be a band on, didn't matter if they've heard of them before, they were quite happy to pay, I don't know, $10 to go in or put some money in a tip jar, because live music was part of going to the bar and it was fine. Whereas here it was very different kind of thing. Or you either went to a gig, or if you're going to a pub and there's music on, well, goodness me, you'd never pay money for it. It was a really different way of doing things. I don't know. It was quite...
Every town had a venue, and every town also had at least one radio station where we'd go and play sessions and be on the radio. And, you know, it was great. It was a really good little setup.
Taught us a lot.
Fantastic. We're really looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks' time, and I hope you have a good rest of September until we see you then.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for joining me, guys. All the best.
No worries. Cheers.
So I am chatting with Maddie Morris, who is playing the Deepdale Festival on Saturday in the Orchard Tent. It is really lovely to have you with us on the Deepdale podcast. Thank you so, so much. I saw you a few weeks ago in Norwich playing in the lovely little courtyard by a fantastic fish and chip shop and next to the amazing church. You were just saying that you got a kind of connection with Norwich because your sister was at the UEA there. But is Norfolk somewhere you manage to get to gig very often?
No, not really. I think the only times I've really played in Norfolk has been doing the Norwich festival that I was doing a couple of weeks ago. So, it's somewhere that I have like loads of like personal connections with, but haven't done that much gigging in. So I'm really excited to be playing at Deepdale. It's going to be really cool.
How did music come into your life? You know, have you always been musical?
Yeah, I think so. I think I just love music. I'm on the autistic spectrum, and so when I was young, really struggled with like communication, and music became kind of a way that I like understood and processed and told the world about how I was feeling in a way that I kind of struggled with words for a long time. And then I sort of started writing songs when I was like a young teenager, and I've kind of just been obsessed with it ever since. It's kind of my favorite thing to do, and it's kind of my, yeah, like just the best thing.
And what inspires you? What makes you think, oh, I need to write about that?
That's a good question. I feel like usually it's just stuff that I can't stop thinking about. If I'm like stuck on something, then I will write about it. So I released a record in November called Joy and Resistance, and it was thinking about kind of the public attack on trans people in the news at that time. And so it was just something that was, every time I was opening my phone, I was seeing a bunch of things about it. And then I ended up writing loads and loads of songs because I just couldn't think about anything else. So it's usually stuff where I'm like, once I'm kind of hyper-focused on something, I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a bunch of songs about it.
And has the summer been busy? Have you been gigging everywhere? Or is it, how does that pan out for you?
Yeah, it's been busy. It's nice. It's nice. But it has been really busy. So I'm really lucky. I do lots of prides and lots of festivals, and it's been amazing. And also quite tiring.
So where's home?
So I live in Leeds, which is nice. It's nice. It's a fun city. There's always a lot going on, which is nice. But I grew up in Bedfordshire, and kind of, I think because of touring, I feel like I'm based in Leeds, but I feel like very, like got lots of connections with lots of different places and lucky to be able to travel a lot, which is nice too.
Are you part of the big folk scene up there? Because it seems to have a really lively folk scene.
Yeah. So I moved up to Leeds when I was 18 to do there was a folk course at the conservatoire, which doesn't exist anymore. But that was amazing because it kind of put me on the path of like meeting loads of interesting people and kind of really like immersing myself in folk music. There's a really good folk scene, but there's also lots of really interesting like DIY self-made music stuff up in Leeds, which is really fun to kind of get involved into.
Yeah. Fantastic. So what can people expect from a set by Maddie Morris?
Oh, that's a good question. My friend once said that if she was writing me a quote for my tour poster, she'd say funny and upsetting. I think a lot of my music's kind of, there's a lot of it which is heavy. It's about kind of politics and my own experiences. But it's all also, I think, quite joyful. I love what I do, and I feel like I don't take myself very seriously, even when the content's quite like intense. So I'd say lots of laughter and jokes, and then also lots of music that is about like real stuff. I think I'm really inspired by the idea that the personal is political. So like the stories about our lives and what we do day to day and what we want to do and what we can't do, that's all what forms politics, and that's what we need to talk about. So I guess a lot of that kind of stuff as well.
Have you got a lot of music out? Have you done a lot of albums, and people can buy your music and find your music easily?
Yeah, so I released my first record called Skin on No Masters in 2024. And it's kind of a record that has like some trad stuff and some of my own written stuff. And we were really cool. We got some funding, so there's loads of really cool artists on it. It was one of those things where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is my record. These are all people that I've been listening to. This is really cool. I've got that. And then I've got a record called Joy and Resistance, which came out in November.
Is it still a real thrill to kind of work with people that you've been watching live for quite a long time? Is it still kind of, you know, give you goosebumps?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's such a joy. Like, I just feel like all of being a musician is just like, it doesn't feel real. And it's like, I feel like lots of things happen and I get to do things and I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel like it's actually happening. Yeah. And I still have that when I listen back to the records, I'm like, oh my goodness, I wrote that. That's so cool. There's something really like fun, and like, it's honestly, it's the coolest job in the whole world. I feel very like it's such a privilege. And I think I love festivals, and I'm really excited about Deep Dale because I love meeting new people, and this idea that, like, you know, I feel like meeting people whose lives are different to mine and whose lives are similar to mine, and kind of that's that thing of there being people in a room who have such varying lives and experiences, but we're all together and we're all sharing music, is like there's just something really special about it. So it's the coolest thing.
That's wonderfully inspiring. If I was to play a sample of one of your tracks, which one would you pick? You know, what do you feel kind of would stand out and kind of get people thinking, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing them?
Oh, that's a good question. I have a song called Marsha P. Johnson. It's a song about Marsha, who was a woman who was kind of very key in the LGBT rights movements in the 60s. And I wrote the song talking about her experience and my experience and kind of what my life looked like growing up in the 2000s, and her life and kind of like that idea of the complexities of politics and identity and those kind of things. So maybe that would be the one that I would suggest.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, we are so looking forward to your set at Deepdale Festival. Can't believe it's only a few weeks away. When we first started, you know, when we first start planning the festival, it feels forever away. And then suddenly it's like, oh my God, it's September and it's here. So we are really, really looking forward to you. Saturday will be a fab day of music, and your set will be particularly great. So we're really looking forward to seeing you. I loved hearing you in Norwich.
Thanks so much for having me. I can't wait.
Now I'm not Marsha P, and I swear if I could be, I would wage a war for women that look like and unlike me. We're taught to take it on the chin like a manifesto of our skin. Whilst we're screaming out for picket lines that didn't want to sing. Did you hear them on the news last night? More bloodshed on the picket lines. And the journalists chose not to say what the protest was for. The Prime Minister is murmuring BS about austerity, and they're blurring out the hashtags and the name of the war, and it violates the community guidelines on the website. So they're taking down our artwork and our language for good measure, and they say that it's for our own good. Let's not instigate civil unrest, but the lack of a single statement becomes the cabinet's grandest gesture.
I'm chatting with Niamh, who is performing on Saturday in the Brick Barn with her full band at Deepdale Festival 2026. Very excited to have Niamh performing with us. First time at the Deepdale Festival, first time at Deepdale, full stop, really. And we'll find out a bit more about whether she's spent much time on the North Norfolk coast. But yeah, welcome to Deepdale Podcast. And, you know, thank you for agreeing to play at the Deepdale Festival. Looking forward to it a lot. Has it been a crazy summer for you? Have you been touring all over, or has it been quite calm?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm very excited. Yeah, very new to that part of the world. Haven't been up that way, but very, yeah, really looking forward to it. If you just Google that area, it's like every picture is amazing. So I'm so excited to be near the sea. I love it. Yeah, summer has been, it's kind of been a mixture of mad and quiet. It's had its little sort of peaks, really. So we did a sort of mini tour in May where we hit London, and then it was our first time in Nottingham. It was really fun as well. I had a great time. And then we went to Glasgow, which was really fun. So that was really good. And then we've done a couple of festivals. We did Lazy Crow Festival in Stamford, which they always have us down, and that's really, really fun. But mainly I've been making a record actually over the summer. So we started recording in March, and we're basically finishing up the mixing of it now, which is the fastest I've ever made a record, and it's the longest record as well that I've made. So, and it's mainly because I worked with a producer this time who was absolutely brilliant and amazing. So yeah, and then but then August has been really quiet. I went to Scotland and I caught a couple of fringe shows and had a bit of downtime. So it's been, yeah, sort of up and down in the best way.
So which fringe shows did you see? Because we went up last week and I saw 14 shows and absolutely loved it. So what did you see and what did you love?
Well, first of all, that's great. I love an intense fringe goer. I'm the exact same. I'm like minimum 4 days, four shows a day. And yeah, whenever anyone goes with me, they're like, oh, where are we heading off to for a drink? I'm like, no time for a drink. Next show's in 15
There's
minutes.
Shows what to be seen. Mean? We can go to a drink anytime.
This is ridiculous. So I really respect that. I saw Bogwitch at the Traverse. I don't know if you caught that, which is absolutely brilliant. And it was one of those shows where I've seen it everywhere for the last like 2 years, like the poster and the name. And I've just not, and like, London shows and touring and stuff, but it's at the Traverse for the Fringe. So that was brilliant. I loved that. I saw one of my other favorites was a show called Fat Tom Cruise by
saw the posters for that, didn't get to that one, but yeah, that was
a comedian called Olga Koch, and she was
she's awesome. She's awesome.
She was a force. Yeah. And actually she played a brilliant Courtney Barnett song at the beginning of the show, and it ended up being like the entire message of the show. Love any bringing in of sick tunes, like loved that. That was so good. Yeah, what else did I see that I loved? I saw this show called Out There, and I can't remember the name of the comedian. It's terrible. But it was basically like a live stream. He was pretending to be like an outdoor vlogger doing sort of like nature stuff. And he was like very American, and everyone had like a little leaf and had to pretend to be the forest, or a net to pretend to be the sea. And it was all kind of improv for an hour, but it was so funny. It was so funny. And he was just so good at keeping it really, fresh and funny. So I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. We go out for so 4 nights and just pack in the shows. Our daughter works for the festival for the whole festival. So she comes back having sort of seen 50 plus shows in a month, but we tend to sort of aim for sort of 12 to 15 really. And we felt pretty pleased with the numbers we saw. We saw an amazing show called The Night Ali Died. And it's by a guy called Christopher, who happens to weirdly be from Norfolk. But we didn't know him until we went to the festival three or four years ago and met him there. And it was just a brilliant one man show, really good. But it's all about kind of Norwich and the sort of I think it's just really, really fantastic.
Oh, great.
So that was really good. And we saw an amazing Australian circus, and their show was called By a Thread. So tell me, how did you end up playing music, and how did you end up kind of standing on stage with singing and performing?
It's a very good question. I'm not quite, I mean, it's one of those where like, you know, how many bubbles in a bar of soap, I think, in terms of when it started. But I suppose I've been kind of singing and writing for most of my life. In high school, I like won our school talent competition doing a cover of Use Somebody with my brother's guitar, but the Pixie Lott cover version specifically.
Very specific.
Very specific, very important. And then sort of ended up having to sing in Glasgow, sort of George Square, which is our main George Square, for like the Winterfest at Christmas. That was my first absolutely like kind of terrifying gigging experience. Definitely felt quite shell-shocked from that. And I'm sure you can find it on, there is a YouTube video of that if anyone's remotely interested. So that's kind of where it started. And then uni, I went to uni in Edinburgh and wrote a lot there, and would often play at this really funny sort of eccentric venue called Henry's Cellar Bar. And I think I used to do a weekly slot or a regular slot. It's terrible. My memory's so bad these days. But it was ran by a man named Christopher Willett, who is now in a huge band called the Oracle Sisters. And I love how well he's doing and seeing their music and knowing that he's like always been this huge champion of like really wild and amazing music. So I did a lot of that, and then it was when I moved to London really that I started taking it a bit more seriously, and I had quite a predictable 9 to 5. So sort of 9 to 5, did my job, 5 to 9 was at sort of every open mic in London you can fathom, and that was sort of 2019, so that was just before COVID, and it was like the open mics were doing so well. And I mean, almost everyone I know in London now, almost my entire network are people that I met at those open mics. They were just such a life force, really. And then obviously COVID hit, and I did kind of continue releasing music through that time. And then sort of post-COVID is when I really took it seriously with the band and sort of did sort of bandier music. And actually sort of 2021 was when I signed with Trapped Animal Records, who I'm with to this day, and they've been brilliant champions of my music over the years. It's kind of just gone from there, really. And I'm lucky enough to have just finished album 3, which I feel so fortunate to be able to still do. That's probably it in a nutshell, really.
And what can people expect from your set? You know, like you're in the Brick Barn. I love that venue. It just, I don't know. Who thought that a 16th, 17th century grain barn would be so appropriate for music? But it just works. And, what can people expect when they come in to watch you?
Oh, I'm so excited to play there. It sounds absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so excited to play at the festival in general. I'm bringing like the full lot with me, the full 5-piece, because it's kind of the last full band show in the calendar for a while as I'm moving. So yeah, basically after the show, that's when I kind of relocate. So I thought last big hurrah, bring out everyone to the show. So I'm really excited about that. What can you expect? A lot of atmosphere with this set. I'm going to do a lot of my second record mixed with new songs, basically kind of trying to marry those up a little bit and kind of see where the two records sort of speak to each other. Yeah, a lot of atmosphere, a lot of backing vocals, a little bit of shredding, a little bit of rage, a little bit of joy, all of that, I think. And yeah, hopefully a little bit of a celebration, really, as I say, it's kind of the last big show for a while for the band. So we'll kind of, it's a little bit of a wrapping up of the album too, I think, as well. Like, I think after this show, it'll be a lot more focused on the new songs and the new arrangements and things. So it's kind of, yeah, a little bit of the old and a little bit of the new coming together. So hopefully it should be a special one.
And would you sit yourself in the folk category or where, you know, I always hate having to ask that question, but I think it kind of helps people kind of understand where to fit you. But I think the thing I love is the fact that most musicians that we host at Deepdale kind of don't really give a damn about genres, and they pop into a bit of pop and a bit of rock and a bit of, country and a bit of folk and stuff. But, you know, is that the heart and soul of what you do?
I think that's the best way to put it. It's probably at the core, it's at the heart, like it's the thing I always come back to is the folk element. And so much of my influences are sort of Scottish folk, sort of contemporary Scottish folk is a huge part of my influence, especially sort of newer, rockier folk like bands like Frightened Rabbit that I was obsessed with growing up. They're sort of had, as you say, this heart of folk, but and then sort of experimented sort of in and out of that. I think like to me, I literally cannot write a song where the core isn't acoustic guitar and vocal, and that be the absolute spine of that song and where the rest of the song grows from. So I suppose that's probably the most where I connect to folk music the most.
So if we were going to play a sample track of yours, what would you choose and why?
Oh, this is hard. I think I'm going to go with Keep Low from my second record, How Things Tie in Knots, because I think it says a lot about my second record. It's kind of at the heart of what that record is about, but I think also signs from Keep Low are carrying on into my new stuff. It's got a little bit of that in it. There's a song I've recorded for my third record that we're going to play called You'll Be Forgiven, which I think is kind of the older cousin of Keep Low. I think Keep Low is where it started. So I think I'd say that one for now. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we are so looking forward to your set. Really looking forward to it. I'm glad we're drawing you into Norfolk for the first time. Yeah, we really look forward to seeing you on Saturday of the Deepdale Festival, Saturday, the 26th of September. Neve will be performing with her full band on our Brick Barn stage, and we're really looking forward to it. Thank you so much for chatting with me. We will see you in a few weeks' time.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'm so excited for the show. Thank you.
yourself on the road. Come and go, be well, but your heart's made of gold.
Thanks for listening. This is a Deepdale Festival special episode of the Deepdale podcast. We really hope you'll enjoy us for one or more of the days of the Deepdale Festival. You can find all the programme and ticket information on our website at deepdalefestival.co.uk. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more, search Deepdale Podcast on any good podcast app or directory, and you'll find our full back catalogue, which includes chats with really interesting people from Norfolk and further afield. We love putting together this North Norfolk Magazine programme and hope you enjoy listening. Please do tell your friends and family about our little slice of North Norfolk life. And if you have the time, we'd love you to leave a review on your favourite podcast app or directory, as that all helps spread the word. Listen out for more episodes soon.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire, sea lavender. See ya next year.